Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Oh, good evening. This is Madam Perry. Welcome to Madam Perry's Salon. And I guess you've probably figured out by now, I'm just not going to say anything to him. If my doorman gets that excited about somebody coming in, just let him enjoy his job and do it as he sees fit. As I said, as you know, I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, and I am so psyched once again. I'm telling you, October is a knockout month. Tonight's guest, yes, is that's right, swingers, hepcats, zeal girls, everybody. Tonight's guest is all the way here into Madam Perry's Salon from New York. It is comedic performance artist, mock star, musician, writer, and professional actress, artist Kelly Dwyer. Kelly, come on in.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm delighted. I guess you've noticed it looks a little different in here. As some of the guests say, it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So just find a nice cushion and
it's like a nice soft womb.
Yeah, let's go through the beaded curtains and find a couple of cushions. Mystery writer, a few writers have left some things behind. Brett Wright, I think, left a burrito, but we got rid of that. Mr. Sula took care of it.
Darn it, because I'm hungry.
just feel around and follow your nose, sister. That's all I can say. And anyway, we're so happy to have you here. And so, my first introduction to you was I met you on Twitter. And so people who say something like, I can't get Twitter, I don't understand. I keep saying I meet the most fabulous people on Twitter.
It is the world's meeting place. It's the meetup of the world.
It is. And I have gotten some wonderful connections and got a lot of things done, booked clients on TV shows. Let's see, who have I met? I've met you. I've met Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun and the X's.
Nice.
And yeah, she's a lot of fun. And as you expect her to be, you know, and very nice,
yeah,
too.
Oh, she should be a blast.
Oh, yeah, have you read her book, Guts?
No, I will have to do that, though. I'm actually looking for a new book. So I have Carol Burnett's new book, which I'm looking forward to. But it's nice to have a couple books lined up, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is. And Guts by Kristen Johnston. It's been out, I don't know how many years now, maybe 5, 6, 7, but it's a great book. And it's about, you know, her, well, partly about her career, childhood, but mostly about her addiction to cocaine. And
nice. Oh, that's probably a fast read then. She probably read it quickly.
Oh, it is. It is. She pulls no punches. She doesn't sugarcoat anything, and she doesn't whine. She just lays it out there like it is.
That's how I like it.
And you know, speaking of books from different kinds of people, you know, like I said, I have so many fantastic guests, especially this month. But for some reason, and you're a woman, you're a wise and worldly woman. This just happens to come to my mind. Total non sequitur. But I have had several psychics booked on my show, booked by booking agencies, by their publicists. And every single one of them forgets about the show and then calls a day or two later. What's up with that?
How is that possible, though? They forget about the show and they're psychics? Wait, I don't understand. That doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. I thought, well, maybe they're on a real different vibration, but they should still be on the same time zone, you know, same clock.
Yeah, I would imagine. Or they can, you know, at least write it on their calendar. I mean, there's, you know, there's a system that just, they don't have to rely on their memories or their psychic abilities. They can also just put it in their iCal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, a calendar. How quaint. I know. You would think, you know, I mean,
right.
I know, I'm one of those kind of the biggest lie I tell myself is I don't have to write it down. I don't have to write that down. I'll remember that. And there, you know, I just tap my head
that's
and go here today.
That's a dangerous territory you're getting into, though, if you're telling yourself that.
Oh, like a,
although, I find that if you do write stuff down too much, then your brain gets lazy, you know?
Oh,
you get a case of the lazy brain. You don't want that.
Lazy brain.
I guess it's a fine line. You got to know what to write down and know what to try to commit to memory. But I would say your show is something I will write down and commit to memory. Hello.
Well, yes, yeah, thank you. And you are here and thrilled. So let me tell you. So as I was saying, the first thing I found of you on Twitter, it was you had the I followed you and you messaged me with a link to the song about, and let me get this right, I call it See Something, Say Something, but it's also the War on Terrorism or Tourism.
Yeah, it could be any one of those things. The sort of secondary, name is the War on Tourism. And that was a video and an idea I had many years ago, not that many, I guess 10, maybe 9 years ago. However, it just seems to keep on keeping on, that one, because doesn't go out of style as we continue to kind of be that in that kind of culture. I think we're still sort of in the fear-based culture, which is, you know, constantly looking out for something that is suspicious. And, you know, well, people are just unreliable about knowing what's suspicious and what's not. So I find it, I guess that was the idea for the song, really. And it,
do you consider it a political piece?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. We have in New York, and I don't know if you guys have, it's not common everywhere, but the phrase is used often, especially in airports. But New York City is especially in some bigger cities like San Francisco, LA, they use the phrase, see something, say something. And it is basically to push people into reporting suspicious activity or suspicious packages. And sort of like being there, being the sort of I guess like spies for the government, you know, like trying to report activity they consider suspicious. Now, as I said, you know, a moment ago, I mean, I think people are just really unreliable, and decide that people look suspicious that, you know, because we have had, you know, police or government or, you know, someone tell us that we should fear them, when in all reality, you know, most people are pretty harmless. So I just think it's sort of like a goofy thing that we use to control people with fear, you know. And so I did a play on that. And then I threw in the tourism thing just because New York is so full of tourists all the time, and that the possibility that we could mistake a terrorist for a tourist might be there. There's a lot of layers in the song. The kitten, kitten in it, an exploding kitten. It's sort of a lot of things going on in that one.
Oh, you're giving away with this kitten too much. Yeah, and two, I'm in Atlanta, and Hartsfield International Airport is one of the biggest airports in the world too. So yes, we're pretty well. But anytime in Hartsfield, of course, you can find your way around.
Right.
Yeah. So we're
I think the words I was looking for. I was sort of got a little spacey there for a second because it is just so comfortable here inside here with you, these pillows. It's but I was thinking of like how our people are racially profiled and how that is kind of sold as a way to feel safe if you can report someone or something for looking suspicious. It just gives a false sense of security. And I just never really bought into that whole idea, especially because I live in such a melting pot, you know?
Yeah, so have you always lived in New York? Or is that where you're from?
No. Uh-uh. I was raised in Ohio. I was raised in Toledo, Ohio. I guess it's not that small, but it's a bit smaller than New York City. I had a pretty average upbringing. My parents never got divorced. 2.5 kids, Catholic school, so 12 years of it. So that might have something to do with what happened to me. And a little bit of bipolar thrown in there. And so that's kind of, I don't know. I guess that was mix all that up. And then I came to New York about 20, I think I just hit my 23 year mark. This month I hit it. I came to school in New York, and the rest is history.
Really? Do you know my friend Liana Renee Heber? She lives in New York. She's from Ohio. She's an author and an actress, and then she does some kind of a haunted tour of New York.
Liana Renee. That sounds really familiar, but I can't say that I do. It is a rather large. It's a rather large place, but it is actually kind of, it also has a small town feel to it. Crazy, because you do run into people that, you know, I'll run into people. If I go out to the city, into the city, or if I go out running errands, I will almost always run into someone I know, you know, randomly.
You know, I came out one morning at 3 a.m. out of there used to be a place called Fez Under Time. It was at Lafayette and Great Jones. And I had been there to see Anita O'Day, and I had a crowd that we would all meet up there and see Anita and at that place. And I came out and at 3 a.m. and somebody comes walking down the street and says, looks at me and says, weren't you singing today at Primi Della Rossi over off 72nd? And a friend of mine, and somebody in the crew said, does your husband know that people recognize you in New York at 3 a.m.? I said, my husband would believe anything like that. He would just totally like, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So this is the only time this will ever happen again. I'm glad I had a witness, but no, that'll never happen again to me. So anyway, could I go ahead and play War on Tourism, Terrorism, See Something,
Please
Say
do.
Something? Because I love this so much.
Good, good.
All right.
It's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Pay attention, kids.
Don't assume it was left by accident. If you see something, say something.
Hey, everybody! It's terrorist season here in New York City. Did I say terrorist?
Yeah,
because I meant it's tourist season. Five blocks to the G train, broke an umbrella in the rain. I waited and waited and waited and waited. Wait, what's that there? An unattended package next to the subway stairs. And I thought to myself,
see something, say something.
No one was there for me to say something to.
See something, say something.
The attendant had been replaced by a machine, so what was I to do? I went over to the package to listen for a bomb, and sure as I am sure, it was meowing like a bomb. I knew right then and there I was going to be a hero. I had to stop that bomb from meowing down to zero. And I thought to myself,
see something, say something.
But no one was there for me to say something to.
See something, something.
The attendant had been replaced by a machine, so what was I to do? I ran up the subway steps and out into the street. I yelled, it's a bomb! The bomb hissed and
river. The tourists were in shock and awe. That bomb in the river. That's when I saw the tiny paw.
How could she do something like that?
I saw something.
She did.
I did
something.
The tourists tweeted their friends about my poor decision.
A million times. I've sung it a million times. It still makes me laugh.
Well, I've only heard it about, I don't know, 30, but it still gets to me. And everything in this is perfect. The voice, especially if you see the official video, folks.
Right.
Right.
It really does hook up nicely with the video. And my husband is great. I work with him on all of my video work, so it's great to have somebody who understands my odd vision, I think. Kind of brings my songs to life. So, and the boys, I was working in Kill the Band at the time. It was my old band, and they, and though I have solo versions of everything, they were great to work with and great to record with, because they do all the voices in it, and it just cracks me up hearing all their goofy things that they say in it, even today. So, like, there's one Italian guy in there you can hear. Oh, well, my God. I don't know. It's just so funny. It just makes me laugh. Well, this is like the walk down little memory lane with Madame.
Well, let me ask you. Now, Kill the Band, that was the name of – that was your band at the time?
Yeah, and it's sort of like I would call it a bookmark – bookmark name for sort of projects where I use other musicians. However, you know, the main band, for the majority of years that I had a band, you know, we were Kill the Band, and it was Mike Malazzo and Joe Yoga and my friend Blair Frowner, and on beatbox, the Human Drum Machine. So, yeah, we used all beatboxing in our music. So we never had drums, because I felt like the lyrics, you could hear the lyrics more clearly without a drummer, because drums are very loud. Mm-hmm. So it was a really cool, quirky, fun thing. And Kill the Band was a project that I actually developed as a theater piece. It was sort of a fake band, and mm-hmm. then it actually became a real band. So it sort of had all these weird developments, you know, and so though the band sort of, we sort of broke up, you know, whatever, after our third album, I still kind of use it as a place mark or a bookmark for a place that I want to go back to and, you know, to use as a group of people to play with.
Now, I see a lot of live shows that you've done lately that are, well, you use your new friend, the Loop Machine.
Yes, I use the Voice Alive Touch, and it's all vocal effects and looping pedal in one, and it is quite something to behold, and has really taken, I think, my work to a different place, and it's been a lot of fun. So sort of was introduced to looping through Reggie Watts. Some people will know who he is when I say his name, and then some people
Reggie
will not.
Reggie Watts? Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
Reggie was a beatboxer and obviously a performance artist, musician that does a lot of looping, and now is on the Late Show, or the Late Legacy of the Late Late Show. But he, I met him in Edinburgh in, gosh, I think it was, I want to say 2008, maybe. We just connected, had a great connection, and, you know, he kind of showed me the way about using my voice as an instrument, and kind of made me feel more confident and you know, sort of inspired me to go in that direction. So, I mean, I give him like a lot of credit for making me interested in that kind of thing. So,
fantastic. That's just kind of magical, like a little magical part of the story.
Yeah, I know.
Reggie Watts and Edinburgh and
all these little Easter eggs everywhere. That's, you know, the Reggie Easter egg, we'll call it. And that was really cool. Edinburgh was a great experience for me. I really did get to kind of experience a lot of people know the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's the biggest Fringe Festival in the world. So I was actually at that time, though, doing a very straight play with a great cast. But I was hanging out all night with the comedians over at this place called The Green Room. And it happened to be Reggie Watts and Jessica Delfino and the Trachtenbergs. I don't know if you know who they are, but sort of an odd mix of a very inspirational avant-garde comedy that I was like, sort of had never had an experience before. And so it sort of opened up my whole world. And I came back to New York knowing that I wanted to pursue, you know, something, go back into music, which I had been in music a long time. I was an opera major in college, and I had been in bands before, but I had kind of stepped away from it to do improv and sketch and plays. So kind of swung me right back in to that whole scene, and it was a great kick in the pants.
So, Kelly, you performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2008?
I did in 2008, and again in 2012, I believe, I went back. 12 or 13. Yeah, a couple times I've been there. I'd like to go one more time, I think. It's a very demanding experience, a very good experience, but it has a lot of it's exhausting. I'm not going to lie. 30 days. I had 34 shows in 30 days when I took it for my second time with my own show, when I was looping and doing stuff. And I went back and did was performance art looping show and Hysterically I brought there. And that was in 2012. And it was just exhausting. Then it was great, but I would probably do 15 days rather than 30.
Because I can imagine. Because one person I know, one woman actually, a friend of mine that does it. I don't know how many years she's been doing it, and she's a comedian. She's from Glasgow, I think. Janie Godley.
Oh, Janie. Okay.
And if you ever get to, and I actually met her. She did. I mean, we had been friends. I met her through Twitter, and then she did come to Atlanta once to do a show a couple of years back. But if you ever look her up on sometime on Facebook, she does this one. I mean, she's a stand-up comic and an actress, but she did one thing where she's following this couple on a train, and they're having a fight, and she's writing it all down and tweeting it. And by the time they get off the train, you know, her daughter's going, "What are you doing? The story's all over the place now." You know, but it's the story of Tim and Freya. Hilarious.
Right. Their whole fight is on Facebook or Twitter, I mean.
On Twitter, yeah. And I thought that's the kind of thing I know you could appreciate. And then another friend of mine from Atlanta who does, his name is Mike Geyer, but he also performs, have you heard of Puddles the Clown?
No, I haven't heard of Puddles the Clown.
Oh, okay. Well,
wait,
I'll send you some.
Let me.
Big tall guy in a white and black clown outfit. He sings, I think he sings the Lord's Song.
Oh.
Oil.
Wow, you are introducing me to the world at this point. I'm going to check him out. I'm actually looking at him right now on Facebook.
Yeah, his name is Mike, and he is fantastic.
Mike Geyer?
Geyer.
Geyer.
Mike,
okay.
Geyer, his wife is Shannon Newton. I've got one of their old cocktail tables out on my back porch. Sweet people. Well, you know what? If I'm introducing you to people, you know what? I always say I want to be – to my publicity clients, I always say, I'm your Auntie Mame. I'm going to open doors for you to places you never knew existed. So that's
I love Mame. It was was one of my favorite shows in high school. I did. Really? Oh, gosh. Oh, I love that. I love it. What a great, 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 great,
but,
great musical.
But especially is Rosalind Russell Mame.
Right. Oh,
my
yeah.
favorite. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know who your
oh,
favorite
totally.
Mame is, but mine is Rosalind Russell.
Yeah. I mean, other than obviously my high school production, which was great.
Oh, well, yeah.
But
did
you
play,
know,
did you play
yeah.
Mame?
As far as the professional ones go, heck yeah, Rosalind Russell, best.
But you played Mame?
No. I think I play Agnes in that one.
Ah, oh, Agnes, how bleak was my puberty.
So hey. Cute. She's so adorable. She has such good songs too. Ah, oh, you're making me miss high school now.
Oh,
I didn't think that would ever happen.
Well, really? Well, I certainly wouldn't miss it. But
take a walk down memory lane.
Hey, how you feeling?
Hey.
Are you feeling okay? Because I know that being a singer, a performer, you have to be very careful. You know, somebody, I read a book that said, from one of my voice teachers, that said, if your friends don't think you're a hypochondriac, that you're not taking care of your voice as a performer.
Oh, I am definitely a hypochondriac, for sure. I mean, even if whether they think it or not. I see where this is going too. And
it's a
very true
segue.
Story. I say to my husband at least once a day, probably that I think I'm dying. And then he always says, probably not today. So, you know, and so far he's been right, So I try to trust him on that.
All right. And guess what, folks? Guess what? Kelly Dwyer wrote a song about it. Like to hear it?
Yay!
Here it goes.
Country.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
Rest in peace, y'all.
Oh, I love that so much. That's you're quite a musician too, and I love how you have so many different genres of music in your songs, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you. I do strive to. That is something that's very important to me. That I don't want all my songs to sound the same. It's really important to. You're never going to hear someone say, most of the time when you ask someone what kind of music they like, they say, well, I like a little bit of everything. I don't, you know, just specifically like metal or country or, you know, whatever, Americana or gospel or whatever. They like a little bit of everything. So I've always been that way myself. And I think when a song comes to me, it often comes to me in a genre, comes into my brain like already kind of wanting to be a rap song or wanting to be, a hair band type song.
Really?
So, I don't know why that happens. It just does. So little songs find their ways to their little special genre, and it just somehow fits together anyway, So. Thank you for noticing. This is a very, very important thing to me. So,
and that song, I want to say, and I hope, nothing's worse than when you've got, well, maybe not to some people, it is to me, when I'm doing something one way and people think it's something else. Like if I'm doing something and I'm thinking I'm channeling Anita O'Day or Julie London or Annie Ross, and they go, oh, my God, that is so Norah Jones or something, and I'm thinking, no, it's over here, But they mean it's a compliment, but to me, that's hypochondriac. Your song it sounds sort of like, and even some in your vocals too, like a harder edge of Missing Persons, Dale Bosnio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Sometimes I get like Gwen Stefani. Sometimes I get, it depends. It depends on what I'm doing. I'd like to give a shout out too in that song, my best friend, Pamela Lewis. Did some backups on that with me, and just it was so much fun to work with her. And she's an amazing cabaret artist here in New York City. So,
and what is her name again? Say her name.
Pamela Lewis.
Pamela Lewis, give her a shout out.
Yeah, I like giving the shout out. Pamela Lewis. People deserve. And Brian Speaker, who recorded the album and helped produce it. It's really important to have like good people around you, as you well know, and a good team of people who believe in what you're doing. So, I've been lucky, and also, I have to take a little credit that I've chosen the right people to work with. So,
it makes all the difference, doesn't it? It really does. And it's like with I've had a jazz band for years. It's the Jennifer Perry combo, and it's like my musicians are so good that I say, I can't afford for anyone but me to be the weakest link in it because, unfortunately,
you want to raise yourself up to their level. You want to have people that are better than you so that it makes you better. As a performer, I think so. Otherwise, why bother?
Exactly, mi amiga. And sometimes when they kind of get all out on their solos and take off for a couple of weeks on that, then I go, I feel like I'm the headmistress of a school for mischievous but very talented young musicians,
yes.
Whether they're young or not, just sort of like every now and then you got to call them back. Don't make JP have to spank now. But,
oh, I know. It's hard to keep good musicians, though, isn't it? It really is. Because they're always wanting to do their own projects, and which is, every single person I've worked with is so an intensely good solo artist. So, I couldn't. That's one of the reasons the band broke up. Every single person in the band had another band or two, and it just got to the point where it was like, how do we all stay focused and, on what we're doing and tour and, focus on your projects too, which all of their projects were very worthy and of the time that they deserve to focus on them. So you know, it's a difficult balance. You can't pay people, really. I can't, at least, you know, not a lot right now. Uh-huh. And with, you know, with my Patreon campaign and stuff, I've been trying to make a little more money so that when I do shoot a video or, you know, want to get in the studio and write a song, well, I have some money to pay people, which is nice.
Yeah, well, that's what I have like a small group of like several of each instrument because, yeah, they do have other gigs that they do. And I had one young cat playing stand-up bass, and he had just come off with, I think he'd been up in at the Blue Note with Christian McBride, but I had his water with the name of the band and stuff like that. And I go, all right, Zach, does Christian McBride give you your own little water bottles? He didn't give me nothing, you know. So I go, well,
you gotta make them special, you know. You gotta make them feel loved. It's important.
I want each one of them to feel loved and feel special and appreciated. And you know what? One genre, you know, I've heard several genres, as I was saying, several genres of music and what you do and what you write. And every one of them, you know, you give it that punch and it feels it's real and it's exciting and you feel it. But there's one genre I'm not sure I've heard yet. Maybe you've done it. I don't know it. But I happen to have a caller here, and this is a little tie-in. I'm kind of lame on my tie-ins and segues tonight, but I'd like to introduce this caller. It is my friend James Breen, also known as Captain Darkfang. He's a pretty big deal in the steampunk world.
Nice. Ooh, yeah.
James, come on in, James. Have you done any steampunk themes?
Welcome.
Pretty
welcome.
Big deal. Well, wow. I never thought of myself that way, but, you know, hey. Thanks for swelling the head a little bit. The ego boost is always nice.
Well, I kind of think of myself as kind of a small deal. So, you know, I don't know how it works exactly, but.
Well, come on, you know you're.
You know, I had to call in and say howdy, you know. I mean, I haven't called in a few weeks, and, you know, hey.
Glad to hear it.
Besides,
you tagged me in a post, and, you know, I was kind of checking out the YouTube video. I was doing other stuff. I was like, you know, this woman looks pretty interesting.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh,
I
am
checking out there. You know, the strange, you know, all, you know, just totally out of the ordinary music is all about. You know, it's all what I'm all about. So, hey.
Thank you. And so you're into steampunk. I think, like, my last album cover for what was called Happy Ending, the album was, the cover was sort of steampunk-esque. That was kind of what we were going, futuristic robot, steampunk-esque thing. And
very
so
nice.
Maybe you'll appreciate the album art on that, and I'll give Jake Thomas a shout-out on that. Who did
hey,
the album
Jake.
Cover? So maybe you'll enjoy that.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
So maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll get Killy, you know, all steampunked up to some. Because James introduces me to a lot of fascinating people to have as guests as well. And,
we've met a few, haven't we?
Indeed.
Yeah, you know,
and you got some more coming, so you're in for a treat.
I do need to come down and see you guys. Like, I have not been in that area. I've not been able to tour to that area. It was on my list for my last RV tour that I did. And I was too aggressive with that tour, and I overcommitted I think I overthought what I could do. And so I sort of, like, after Chicago, I just ended up heading back to New York. But I wanted to swing down and swing around and then come up the coast.
Yeah, well, you see, what you do is you take a vacation, you know, beginning of March.
Right.
You come on down here to Tucson, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and you come on out and you join us at Wawa Westcon. See, and you just make a fun trip out of it instead of a working trip, see?
Yeah.
You go out and you enjoy yourself.
Oh, well, I always enjoy myself when I'm touring, for sure. But, I mean, because I usually schedule a day off between my shows, so I can always tour or travel around or go see other shows. But that is not a bad idea, I have to say.
We got great shows. We got great concerts this year.
I'm putting it on my list.
You have Steampunk Giraffe again in 2017.
No, we do not have Steampunk Giraffe again. We are going to let them have a break this year. We've had them out every year since Wawa Westcon started. And so, you know, it's time to bring in some new blood and get some, you know, some more acts that we haven't really had out before. So this year is, you know, going to be that year.
This year's going to
cool.
be that year.
Our
you're
big
bring
headline
the new blood?
This year, because I can't announce it because it has been officially announced by both WestCon and by the band, are the folks I'm working with getting on air with you here soon, Madame Perry, and that's the Cog is Dead.
Yeah, the Cog is Dead. Long live the Cog. Hey,
see,
Mark,
now you both just need to come down here in March and come hang out.
We'll
be
back in Tucson.
You know what? Honestly, March in New York. Well, I do have a festival in the beginning of March that I'm performing at, but I'm done mid March. When is the festival? When is the
The first weekend of March, the third, fourth, and fifth.
No, why? Oh. And also, March sucks in New York City. I'm telling you. Oh, so
I know
hard.
It. I'm from Michigan. I'm very familiar with March in that area of the country.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm from where
here,
are you from?
Here it's
from
mid 60s, mid to upper 70s, and yeah.
Don't brag.
All right.
Hey, I moved down here 10 years ago. I haven't even looked at a snow shovel in 10 years, let alone touched one.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of, listen, while you're here, James, I want to ask Kelly, what's a mock star? You're a mock star. What does that mean?
That's a good question. Well, I was having a lot of trouble. I sort of, since I do so many different kinds of work, like I'm an actress and a performance artist and a musician and a comedian and a whatever you want, you know, whatever you need at the time. And I'm also very into the, I'm into satire and I'm into politics and sort of skewering celebrity and that sort of thing. So Mockstar just seemed like fitting because, I don't think I'm a rock star at all. I'm kind of too nerdy to be a rock star and I'm kind of too,
nerds rule.
And I'm too funny. I want to be, you know, I want to keep the dark, even though I'm darkly comedic, I'd like to keep the dark comedy there. So I think Mockstar just sort of like fit everything that I was doing and it made a nice, like sort of fun, I guess, nickname for myself. You know, I've been called many things, trust me. And Mockstar is probably the nicest. So
do you have anything recorded?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Plenty of albums, yeah. Really?
Goody, goody. I'm going to have to look you up. And if you don't mind, once I find it and I am able to purchase, you know, an album or three, I think we're going to maybe put you up on our rotation on Dreadnought Radio just because, you know.
That'd be great.
We're all a bunch of geeks and nerds over there. So, hey.
We're in the same geeky nerd boat then.
Yes.
I love that boat. That's my love boat. Hey, before we get to the song, I want to say there's a couple things I want to get out real quick because this is so much fun. And you know, when anything's too good, it's going to go by too fast. Yes, you are also an actress. If you go to Kelly's website, which is, tell them your website address, Kelly.
Okay, it's www.killythekid.com. That's K-I-L-L-Y, thekid.com.
And you've got your commercials that you've done for Scotch Tape, for Wendy's.
I have all that.
Wendy's, Scotch Tape, and what's the one where you've got the little dolphin thing? It's at a yard sale, one of a kind.
Yeah, I did a couple Wendy's commercials. I've done about eight national commercials, so I have a good commercial. You know, when I need to make some money, I go back to doing, you know, sort of commercials. And then I fund my projects and I do my kooky stuff that I like to do. And that way I get to make art without compromise. And I think, you know, I've never wanted to sign with a label who is going to force me into any kind of, you know, what their idea of my music should be. And I've always been able to kind of have my own voice. And I did it basically through that. So...
See, I've noticed that attitude with a lot of the bands I work with the radio station, too, is, you know, they don't want to sign on to a label that's going to say, you have to record this style album next, or you have to do so many songs that are on this, you know, or this style or anything like that,
right.
And they stay self-produced. And they're doing extremely well for themselves.
Yeah,
and they're much
yeah,
happier.
You don't,
they might
you,
not
I
be
think,
multi-billionaires, you know,
yeah.
with triple platinum albums, but in the long run, they're happy.
I'm pretty happy having a balanced life, and I think that, like, I'm just sort of in the pocket, in the zone of where I want to be. I have a really great, you know, very supportive following of people who are like my very unique and different style of what I'm doing, and they're not that many, but man, are they great fans. I have the best.
Well, and I
can
see why. I mean, when I watched on the YouTube video that Madame Perry here posted, oh my God, it was just freaking hilarious.
Oh, thank you. I don't even know which one she posted, so. Which one was
that? I like the comedy stuff. If it makes me laugh, I'm going to watch it.
Awesome.
There's a poison
yeah.
for that.
Well,
for
and
that.
I do try to, you know, I don't just try to, you know, I guess I don't want to say I don't just try to be funny, because I do just try to be funny, but I also try to have sort of a message in there or something that I feel is, that I feel strongly about, because I think comedy and music are a great delivery system for changing the universe. And if I can, you know, maybe change one person's mind by making them laugh, then I feel like maybe I've accomplished something. So,
and if you can't change my making them laugh, you know, hey, there's always the bludgeon on the side of the head. One way or another, you're going to see people. Sorry, you can ask them, Perry, pirate, you know, we think, you know, more, you know, brutally, you know, and, you know, a change in command or, you know, a promotion to captain usually entails things like bullets to the back of the head, you know, things, yeah.
Oh, sure.
So.
Totally, you know.
You
violence.
Know,
violence could be the answer. It could be.
Of course, you know, cartoon violence is so much more fun, though. I mean, face it, if you can beat a guy, you know, over the head with a rubber chicken and, you know, make it not only funny, but morally, can you know, like teaching a moral lesson, I mean, come on now.
Right, right, right.
You get that way, you get your comedy, you get your violence, and hey.
You get your protein.
Yeah, you get the comedy, you get the violence, and you get your rubber chicken. Who doesn't like a rubber chicken?
You can't go wrong with a rubber chicken.
You really can't.
Okay.
I mean,
they're so versatile.
They really are. They really are. That and the banana peel are like the two, you know, original comedy staples.
Well,
know?
Don't forget the whoopee cushion, though. I mean,
oh,
come on,
though. Oh, gosh. You know, farts are the best.
I mean, you know, and I hear people, you know, downgrading, you know, fart humor, and it's like, you've just never experienced good fart humor, I'm telling you.
The song that Madam just played is called Hypochondriac, and when I do it solo, I loop farts and burps into it. So,
yes.
You can use fart humor and make something smart at the same
See?
Time. Trust me, I've done it.
You know, some of the best shows are the ones where I totally lose control of it. So that's even better.
No.
I love it. And I've got two more songs we're going to play, too, while Kelly's here, which are Famous Baby and Mock Bottom. You know, I have not bred, but I thought if I ever had a chance to breed with a really multi-billionaire rock star, then I would, because, you know, the DNA and the child support would just keep on coming. But anyway,
exactly. You know,
otherwise,
you know what I'm talking about.
I can dig it. I can dig it, sister. Hey, guess who else is here?
Who?
He's a poet, and he's going to be on tomorrow night. He's going to be one of the special guests on Madame Perry's annual and always very popular Halloween shows. And by the way, may I play one of your songs on the Halloween show tomorrow night, Kelly? Do you mind?
Absolutely, of course. Thank I have plenty you. Of scary songs.
Good.
I got to say, I really enjoy the music.
Oh, this is Rick McIntosh. Come on in, Rick.
Hi, hey. Yeah.
Rick,
just
come on in.
Just weighing in that I love your show. It's been so fun to listen to. I can't wait to be on your Halloween show tomorrow. For your musical guest, I just wanted to pass on that the model of, you know, just being successful enough to do what you want but not to get too messed with was Robert Palmer's entire career.
Right.
Island Music realized that every album he put out would make some kind of money, dependable audience, so they just said, you know, do what you want.
Right.
So
right.
I totally support you in doing that.
And I think I was, like, super inspired by, and I'll keep this short, but I was super inspired by Ani DiFranco, who was one of the first women to actually just, and for people at the time, to really just create her own album, or her own record label, and do it all, like, herself, and then put, you know, whoever she loved and liked on her label and allowed them to do whatever they wanted. So it's sort of that sort of, you know, time in my life sort of did inspire me as well to kind of like do what I want without compromise, you know?
Well, awesome. Because your Poison song is just a killer.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Had me teary-eyed with laughter. So.
Oh, and you know, is the album version of it is basically almost a metal rock song.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a totally different version. So I have I always try to play my song. I improvise a lot on stage. So you might get a different, totally different sounding, version of the song that you love and know. But you'll always be able to sing the words. And
I like a good improvising artist. So, best of luck to you, Jennifer.
Cool.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Rick McIntyre, and thank you for. See you tomorrow night.
Okay. See you tomorrow. Bye.
All right. Rick McIntyre. Bye, Rick. So such a cool guy. And yeah, he'll be on the Halloween show. We've got some cool. Awesome. That is always one of the most popular shows I do, and I always love it. All right. DJ
Halloween
Dark
is the best.
It is.
Yes.
Yes. Do I want to play Famous Baby or Mock Bottom next? Oh, and one other thing. If you go to Kelly Dwyer's website, which is KellyTheKid.com, you can get lost in there for a weekend or more with all the fabulous stuff in there. And, you can even buy, and this harkens back to a happy thing in my childhood, and there are few enough of those to count and remember, is paper dolls. There's a paper dolls, a Kelly Dwyer paper dolls.
Oh, yeah, and it's magnetic, too, so you can stick it to your fridge. It's great. You can dress me up, dress me down, whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. All right, how about, let's play Mock Bottom.
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right, hang on.
Alcohol and poor life choices. I'm drunk and I'm stoned. And my soft inner voice is telling me to do stupid shit I wouldn't do otherwise. Like sucking face to second base with my best friend's mom. Spiking the punch and flashing my tits at my neighbor's son's prom. Killing a man in Reno just to watch him die. Now keep drinking till the baby bottle shows. Drink through your intervention, cause I'm a whore for your attention. Johnny Walker, Jose Cuervo, Jack Daniels, Jim Beam.
Ah,
You know what's funny? It makes me a little sad about that song because I love that. I do love that song so much. But we used to finish it by singing the Pina Colada song right after it. Like, do you like Pina Coladas? Because it's such a terrible song. But it just fit perfectly, like this weird way. And I fought to have that on the album. I fought to have just that little piece at the end of that song. And the boys all said no. I got voted down on that one. No.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you put down the foot and you say, look, I'm the captain. I make the rules. We're doing
true.
It. You don't like it? I'll keel haul you. Oh, sorry.
True.
That's,
but you know
that's
what?
Pirating. I'm sorry. That's pirating again, not music. Again, I'm confused.
It's true. And you know what? I did put down my foot a lot on that song because I really wanted it to have that compressed sound that it has on the verses. And they were torn about that. And then I wanted it to open up really huge on the bridge. So, you know, I guess I got one thing that I wanted. I guess that's how you work with other people, though. It's you compromise, and that's how you collaborate, and that's how good things happen. So, but I haven't had that thought in a long time. And again, Madam's taken me on the memory, taking me down memory lane. So it's interesting to have that memory.
See, I'll always remember that Charlie Sheen winning.
Yes, winning. Yeah,
little.
I'm lucky that it's still people still remember it because some things that are pop culture references, you know, they come and go so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, that's, you know, I almost think, as you were saying, you're going to play Famous Baby, which is an awesome song, but it's definitely a song that it represents an era, which would probably be, you know, somewhere around maybe 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago. So it's got more of that feel of that time because of some other references. But everyone still gets it, you know.
Oh yeah, well, you know, Charlie. But and of course there's reruns. But also one thing I think I've heard you say recently, or I don't know if I saw it on social media, Twitter, that I do take exception with, and that is, if I have to say that, since we've gotten along so well so far, is that you did say you said you have a habit of taking up instruments just long enough to learn how to do something, and that's do a song, and that's all. Where I beg to differ, I think you're pretty damn good at all the instruments you pick up, and I think you spend a lot more time on them than that, and I think you're just being very modest, Kelly Dwyer.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you the truth because you were honest with me. I'm going to say this. I said that knowing that I was – someone was probably going to message me saying that they had an instrument that I could have. And sure enough, a guy that I know messaged me and said, hey, I have a dulcimer. I don't use it. It just sits here. Do you want to take it? And I was like, oh my God, see, just put the message there out there into the world. And that's just like a thing that we can all say too, is you put your what your wants and needs are out into the world, and you know it's possible that someone will have something to fulfill that. And I never would have thought I would be playing a dulcimer next week, but I will have a dulcimer next week. So
oh, that's right, because you did put on there if you've got any other instruments. Hey,
yeah,
why don't we go ahead and play Famous Baby?
Well, real quick before you play that, I am going to have to depart here because I have got. I have got a slew of work to do for Wild Wild WestCon still, so I'm panels manager, so yeah, I get to deal with a whole slew of people.
Hey, and since you're the panels manager, did you happen to see if there's a Madam Perry on the panel anywhere?
Not yet, because, you know, Madam Perry would need to fill out the panelist application and all that good stuff.
Whoa!
I think Madam Perry just gets, like, taken in. Like, she's, like, first consideration, in my opinion.
Unfortunately, I don't get to make that decision.
Oh.
You know, I do have the entertainment director who's above me, and she makes those decisions. She, you know, she takes my recommendations, to, you know, very strongly to heart because, you know, Diana just loves me to death. And, well, that's good because I love her to death. She's awesome. I don't know what we'd do without her, to be quite honest about it. But, but yeah, you know, when we have the application up, I will definitely let you know if you do wish to, you know, try and come out and be a panelist because I would love to work with you. Not to mention, I'm going to be doing, you know, some live broadcasting from there. So, you know, you could co-host for me next time.
I would love it. I would love it. All right. Hey, Captain Darkman,
so,
thank
and remember,
you so
vote Cthulhu. Who cares
We're
about the rest of them? Why vote for the lesser evil? Just vote for true evil. Vote Cthulhu 2016.
I can dig
it. That is the Wild Wild West Con theme for this year, by the way. Vote Cthulhu. Cthulhu for president. So.
Okay. Well, but I think you're going to be saying, no matter what happens, don't blame me. I voted for Cthulhu, okay?
exactly.
So, okay, well, thank you so much for calling in.
You know, we should get that bumper sticker made. I'm going to have to throw that by our marketing director there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a new bumper sticker idea. Don't blame me, I voted Cthulhu.
There you go. All right, so we're going to go out with, we're going to also play Famous Baby if Killy's got just about 3 more minutes with me, if you've got that much time, Killy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I will talk to you all later.
All right.
Nice lady. To meet you.
Same here. Bye now.
I want to get down. No need to get romantic. Let's get freaky, but there's no need to get tantric. Your GED is good enough for me. You have all your hair. I don't need a commitment because I just don't care. I just want your baby. Give me your baby. Let's make a famous baby.
God, I love everything you do. It's just like everything is perfection.
Thank you. Well, I have a good time doing it, and I think that's part of why we love what we do, right?
Yes. Yes, and indeed it is. Killy Dwyer, thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your talent and your music and being here in Madame Perry's Salon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I had a blast.
It's a joy. I hope you will come back sometime and visit.
Of course. It's so comfortable and cozy in here. Why not?
It is. You can just take a nap in here. So tomorrow night, if you're listening live tomorrow night, it's an annual Halloween show. We're going to have Rick McIntyre, Daryl Rhodes, going to have some music from Veronique Chevalier, Valentine Wolf, and Killy Dwyer right here on Madame Perry Salon. Killy Dwyer, go to Killy the Kid. And I'm blasting it all over social media, so you can't miss it. So check out Killy the Kid's website. Buy her music. Donate money to her Patreon. And Killy, we love you. Thank you so much.
I love you too. Thank you so much, madam.
All right. Good night.
Good night.